You're now listening to Morning Wave in Busan with Catherine.
This is our Thursday morning interview. I'm sure you are all aware that in early June, a group of young North Korean defectors were sent back to North Korea. Shortly after that, a group of 20 or so other North Korean defectors staying in Laos arrived safely in South Korea. And since the Laotian authorities sent back the North Korean teenage defectors, international interest in the human rights of North Korean defectors has been growing. To learn more about the situation, we have Mr. Greg Scarlatui, the Executive Director of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea, on the phone with us again this morning. Good morning. How are you? Welcome back to Morning Wave.
Good morning. How are you? Delighted to join you.
Yeah, so the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea is, of course, doing lots of good work for North Korean defectors. But if you could tell us once again, what is the aim of your organization and maybe what some of the future plans or goals are of your organization?
The three main strategic objectives of our organization are, first of all, to research and publish on the North Korean human rights situation. Number two, to increase public awareness in the United States and beyond about the key issues that we address pertaining to human rights in North Korea. Number three, a relatively recent strategic objective, providing training to North Korean defectors. We have provided one round of training in January of this year to North Korean defectors in Seoul, a program on international human rights standards and human rights NGO management. We also currently host several North Korean, former North Korean interns and one resident fellow who is also a former North Korean. And there are training programs at HRNK involving them as well.
I see. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Well, back to the topic of Laos. Laos seems to be attracting at least many, you know, North Korean defectors. If you could tell us as to reasons why, maybe?
Yes. Laos has been one point along the Underground Railroad, the road of escape from North Korea. And Wall Street Journal reporter Melanie Kirkpatrick wrote a very interesting book on the Underground Railroad last year, explaining that process. So basically, once North Koreans have managed to escape from North Korea and find their way into China, some of them decide to transit through third countries, and eventually many of them find their way into North Korea, into South Korea, or to other third countries. So as you know, currently there are about 25,000 former North Koreans or North Korean refugees in South Korea, and about 5,000 others live in third countries. This is still a fairly small number.
Right.
If you think about the population of North Korea, the population of North Korea is 24 million. There are only 25,000 in South Korea and 5,000 elsewhere. By comparison, think of Cuba. The population of Cuba is 10 million. About 1 million Cubans, 10% of Cuba's population, live in Florida in the United States, in the Miami area and around the Miami area.
That's right. So that is a stark difference when you look at the numbers. Thank you for pointing that out. So why do you think the Laotian authorities forcibly repatriated the young North Korean defectors to North Korea earlier this month?
My greatest fear is that this has to do with efforts by the North Korean authorities to crack down on defections. The number of North Korean defectors arriving in South Korea and resettling in South Korea declined dramatically from 2011 to 2012. Over 2,800 North Koreans resettled in South Korea in 2011. That number declined by about 46% in 2012, just over 1,500 North Koreans found their way into South Korea. The North Korean government has been conducting, under the Kim Jong-un regime, an intensified crackdown on attempted defections. Additional surveillance cameras have been installed on the North Korean side of the border and also on the Chinese side of the border. What does this mean? This means that it is more difficult to defect, and even if one manages to hire the services of a broker, It is much more expensive to defect now because more palms have to be greased if there are more security cameras involved. Obviously, more employees of North Korea's internal intelligence agencies are involved in the process, and thus it's more difficult and more expensive. Laos is a key point along the defection route of North Koreans, along the Underground Railroad. And my greatest fear is that the North Korean authorities are going after the choke points along the route of defection as part of this effort to crack down on defectors and attempted defections.
I see. Well, in terms of this this last incident where the North Korean defectors were sent back, was this the first incident, or have there been more incidents like this?
It was the first forcible repatriation from Laos. What is truly tragic about it is that they were forcibly repatriated through China. They transited through China. China itself has continued to forcibly repatriate North Korean refugees, claiming that they're illegal economic migrants. Well, China is a party to the 1951 UN Convention for the Protection of Refugees. As we know, when North Koreans are forcibly returned to North Korea, they face extraordinarily harsh punishment. So they have a well-founded fear of persecution. Once they return to North Korea, they face torture, beatings, imprisonment, death, extraordinarily harsh punishment, especially in the case of North Korean women who became pregnant with Chinese men. We've had very credible reports of infanticide, forced abortions, rape, extraordinary cruel punishment. In that case, pertaining to the 1951 Refugee Convention, if a person has a credible fear and well-founded fear of such persecution upon return to his or her home country, they automatically qualify to become réfugiés sur place. It's a French term, refugees on site. They automatically qualify to get to receive political refugee status. China continues to refuse to grant them political refugee status. China continues to claim that they're just illegal economic migrants. And thus, this is an ongoing tragedy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, of those young North Korean defectors who were deported to Laos, by Laos to North Korea, in Korean terms, we call them 꽃제비. In English, the closest translation would be wandering swallows, orphans who beg for food on the streets. And since they were young teenagers, of course, their repatriation caused even more controversy. So if you could tell us, if you know the exact figure or just a rough estimate of how many of these so-called wandering swallows are in North Korea and what the situation is, how do they live?
The 꽃제비 began wandering North Korea and the border areas with China around the time of the Great Famine, the Gonan-haengun, as the North Koreans called it, from the mid to the late 1990s. This has been a problem since the days of the Great Famine. It is certainly very hard to determine the exact number of wandering swallows still in North Korea and China. One credible figure would be around 20,000, if you really need me to provide a number. But certainly our organizations and other organizations dealing with North Korean human rights are still in the process of trying to confirm that number.
I see. Well, you know, we just wanted a rough estimate just to see how many, since this was so in all the headlines. Of course, whether it's 1 or 20,000, it really does not matter. And after the young North Koreans were forcibly sent back to North Korea, the South Korean government, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, announced that it would intensify its efforts to help North Korean defectors. And shortly after the announcement, I hear that 20 North Korean defectors staying in Laos arrived in South Korea. So in your opinion, what types of efforts do you think the South Korean government needs to be making to improve the human rights situation of North Korean defectors?
The South Korean government and the people of South Korea are to be commended for the help and assistance they've been extending to North Korean refugees. And certainly there are re-education programs in place, educational programs in place, such as the programs provided at the Hanawon Center for 3 months, There are resettlement programs, incentives in South Korea to acquire jobs and hold on to them or to pursue an education, a degree education. So that's all commendable. I think that the critical issue in South Korea is the passing of the North Korea Human Rights Act. And this is something that I think the South Korean National Assembly must consider very seriously in the coming weeks and months. The United States has had a North Korea Human Rights Act since 2004. It was reenacted in 2008. And then again in 2012, Japan has a North Korea Human Rights Act. As we all know, the problem is that human rights in North Korea has been, I would say, somehow erroneously regarded as a political issue in South Korea. This should not be a divisive issue between the left and right, between progressives and conservatives. After all, according to the Constitution of the Republic of Korea, these North Korean refugees, for example, are citizens of the Republic of Korea. Mm. And all issues pertaining to North Korean human rights should be a matter of deep and grave concern to all the citizens of the Republic of Korea.
Yes, yes, definitely. I think that was very well said. And I do want to thank you for your insight into this very sensitive matter.
A pleasure as always.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
And once again, that was our special morning interview with Mr. Greg Scarlutti. And I hope that we were able to shed some light into the real plight of the North Korean refugees or defectors, whatever you want to call them, that it is an issue that we all need to take to heart. All right, we're going to go.